That's the announcements for tonight, so let's jump to the Word. I contemplated just kind of letting this go. I had so much. I told you Sunday in my message, I had a lot more planned than I knew I would have time for. And I really considered just kind of letting it go and sticking with our series and maybe at some point coming back to this. But I just felt the Lord wouldn't let me go forward with that plan, that there was some more teaching that needed to take place with this concept. I really believe that the concept that I laid out for you Sunday, and we're going to go a little deeper in tonight, I really believe that that concept can change your life. If you can learn to navigate through the chaos that's keeping you from obtaining the promises of God and obtaining Christ and who Christ is and what he brings to us. And so we're going to jump into this again. I would encourage you, because I won't be saying the same thing. Some of it will sound the same, but I won't be saying the same thing. So I would encourage you, go and listen to watch the message. It's on our YouTube. You can get through riverlifechurch.com, our media page. Go watch that message, and you'll be able to pick up on that and what we do tonight. And I believe it can make a difference in your life. How many believe if you can get through the chaos that's around you and hear God's word, what God is saying, and grab hold of that instead of the chaos that is around you, that life can turn to be what God wants your life to be? That's what this is really all about and what we are trying to cover. And so tonight we're gonna see what the Lord would say to us as we go a little bit deeper. Let's start in the Word. Romans chapter 10. I'm going to put some things on the board tonight, so hopefully you'll be able to see it all right. Romans chapter number 10. And I'm going to begin reading, and I want to back up a little farther than what I read Sunday, if that's okay. Can you stick with me a little bit if I read a little bit more tonight than I read Sunday? I want to read a little bit more of the Word, because I think by reading a little more of it, if you'll stay engaged with me, you'll really catch the concept of what we're trying to say. So we're going to start at Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. That's very important for our understanding of what this chapter is saying to us. Paul is writing now. He's been revealing in the book of Romans this mystery of this thing called grace. He's revealing that it is for anyone, and he's going to say that here in just a little bit. But his heart's desire is that his own people, those that he are a part of, he's a part of, the nation of Israel, his heart's desire is that they would obtain this salvation. And so that's what he's saying there. And verse 2, for I bear Israel witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So Israel, even though they have a zeal for God, they have no understanding and no knowledge about true righteousness of God, which is Christ. So somehow God's people have missed God's plan. That's what Paul's saying. You have a zeal for God, but you're not submitting to Christ, to the Messiah. Verse 5. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. That's what Moses wrote. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. I want you to see that. I didn't get into this Sunday, But I want us tonight to see that. What does it say? The word, what God said, is near you. And it needs to be in your mouth and in your heart if you're going to obtain. The word that's near you has got to be in your mouth and in your heart. And then look what he says. That is the word of faith which we preach. Not the law, not just keeping laws and rules and regulations, but it is the word of faith, because faith is what causes you to obtain. It is by faith, not by works, lest man could boast. So it's going to have to be by faith that you obtain. And Paul is saying, my heart is breaking because my people Israel have not obtained this righteousness of Christ because they have not had faith. And the word is near them. And even God's word was in their mouth and in their heart, but they didn't have faith. They were saying it. They knew it. Following God's law, his old covenant that reveals Christ, they knew it, but they didn't have faith to obtain it. Come on now. Because here's where we're going tonight. If you're going to obtain, you have to have faith, because without faith, you will reject what otherwise you could obtain by faith. That's what Israel did. Okay? So I wanted to set this up a little bit more tonight so we can get a full picture. Okay? So verse 9, he keeps going, the word of faith that we preach, that if, here it is, that if you confess with your mouth, but what you're confessing is important, it's got to be the Lord Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How many realize that eliminated the Jews that couldn't operate by faith? That eliminated the ones that could not accept Jesus as the Messiah. So rather than obtaining, they reject the Messiah. And if you reject, you cannot obtain. Now, let's go on. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. People don't want to go back under the law in the day we are living in. People who claim to be Christ followers that say, well, we got to keep the law, they'll never obtain the promises that God has given through Christ, because they're rejecting the very way God said is the only way you can obtain, and that is by faith. If you think that you can work your way to obtaining, you'll never obtain. Amen. Because the more you work, chaos gets involved. The more you try to do it your way, chaos is involved. Faith is reaching through the chaos and grabbing what God said and believing that. Amen. Now let's keep going. So whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. There's no distinction. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Okay. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Now, remember what he's talking about. My people Israel have rejected Christ. They have not obtained this salvation. The only way you attain this is by faith. And even though the word is near you, and the word can be in your mouth, and the word can be in your heart, if you don't have faith to believe it, to grab it, you'll never obtain, because the chaos will keep you from obtaining Christ. Okay, that's the picture here. And now he's saying, now, here's what it takes. How could you call on someone whom you don't believe in? And how can you believe in someone you've not heard about? And how can you hear unless someone says about him to you or speaks about him to you? Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Okay. Now, out of this setting, and we'll just stop right there. Out of that setting is where God birthed this message in my heart. Have they not heard? Yes, they heard. They had the old covenant that told them Messiah was coming. They heard. Jesus walked for 3.5 years among them, exclusively among them, in and around Jerusalem. I mean, no, if you're going to go to the Jews, you get in and around Jerusalem, they're going to hear. And he wasn't shy about who he was. He wasn't shy about the gospel that he was talking about, the life that he was calling them to. They heard, but something happened between what was said and what they heard that caused them to reject rather than obtain. So, what was that? As I was reading, that's what jumped off the book at me. What was it? What was it that caused them to miss out? What was it that happened between what was said and what they heard? Because God declares his son, the Messiah. God sent Jesus. God acknowledged he was pleased with his son. Jesus proclaims the Father. They've heard it. They heard it said through the Old Testament. He did the things they said that the Messiah would do. He was the one they said Messiah would be. So what happened between here and here that caused them to reject and not obtain? It's the same thing that happens to us. What happened was, between what was said and what they heard, they put their own interpretation on. They did not hear what God said. They heard what God said through their own understanding, their own interpretation, their own background, their own situation. And rather than hearing what God said, they heard what their history told them, what their family told them, what their priests told them, what their Pharisees told them, what their circumstances told them. They were in Roman, but Rome was ruling over Israel, and so they got it in their mind that the Messiah was going to come, and he was going to overthrow Rome and set up his kingdom in that. And God never said that's how he was going to come. That's how they got it in their mind. And therefore, between what God said and what they heard, they applied their own interpretation. And that is the line of chaos that stands between us and obtaining what God said. Same thing. In your life and in my life, what keeps you from obtaining the promises of God is what you're doing with the chaos. God says something, but if you put your own spin on it, you put your own limits on it, you put your own understanding on it, You put your own upbringing on it. You put your own circumstances on it. You put what you think about God, what you think about yourself. You will reject what God said and not obtain his promises, and you will obtain what you think about God. And therefore, and we'll just kind of hit this, there, it's like there's this chaos cloud above us. Okay? If this is us and we're trying to hear, okay, that's us. And this is God. Okay? And God declares through his word promises. And here we are, and we've got a financial need. And God's word has said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. I'll take care of you. The notice the lilies of the field. They don't toil nor spin, yet they are provided for in even greater fashion than Solomon. Notice the birds of the air. They don't have to do all the work. I provide for them. Amen? So God says that. We need to hear what God says, but what do we hear? We hear, well, but I don't have enough. And maybe I'm not good enough. And well, that doesn't always work. Well, I'm not really sure God really meant that. Well, I know people who haven't had their needs met. Come on. I know people who were godly people that they didn't have needs met. And what we're doing is we're allowing the chaos of what we know and what we think and what we understand to keep us from hearing what God said. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And faith is the only way to obtain. And so the only way to obtain your promises is to have faith in what God said. Not what the doctor said. Not if it's a sickness issue, disease issue. Many times, and I'm not saying we don't go through things. Sure we do. And sometimes, do you know, delayed response does not mean no response. So we can't put our timing on it. We can't put what we think it's going to look like. We have to make a choice. Will we believe what God said, or will we believe what the doctor said, or will we believe what grandma went through, or will we believe what this person said, or will we believe the people that said, well, God doesn't perform miracles anymore. God doesn't heal people anymore. Well, you have to make a choice. Will you believe what God said, or what others, or your own circumstances, or the enemy says? And that's the difference between obtaining or rejecting. Israel had the same opportunity with Christ that the Gentiles had. Amen. Now, we know the Bible says eyes were blinded and those things, so the message could come to the Gentiles. But Paul's going to go on and say in Romans chapter 11, does that mean that Israel can't be saved? No. I am an Israelite. And I believed and I obtained. Come on now. So we can get in all these arguments and debates, and this is the cloud. And boy, here we got science, and we've got religion, and we've got doctrine, and we've got denominations, and we've got family, and we've got friends, and we've got history, and we've got our situation, and we've got our understanding and education, and all, and it's this cloud that stands between what God said and what we heard. And if you can ever reach through that cloud and get a hold of the word of God and plant your flag there and pull the word of God through the cloud, oh, come on now, and say, this is where my heart is. This is what I believe. Speak then what you believe. You then can obtain rather than reject. Here's the thing. There's another chaos moment. And this chaos moment comes between when we do grab what God said and we finally hear that past the chaos. Then another chaos moment comes in between what now we've heard and believe God said and what we say about it. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so some people can believe God said it, and they can get through this chaos, and they can reach up and grab that and bring that down to their life and hear what God said, but then they forfeit obtaining it because they won't speak it. Come on now. They won't speak it. Well, here's how that goes. We have a need. And God said, I'm the supplier of your needs. And the chaos says, oh, that doesn't happen. God won't do that. That makes no sense. There's not enough. Family says, no, I've had needs and God hadn't provided. We reach up and we grab that and we say, but I believe it. But then when we grab it and believe it, circumstances and situations begin to hit us that look contrary to what we say we believe. And then we begin to speak those circumstances. Then we begin to say, well, maybe I didn't hear it. Well, maybe God doesn't really want to do that for me. Well, I hate to say that because, and this is my favorite. Well, I hate to say that because what if I make God look bad? Let me help you. If you can make God look bad, he's not a very big God. Yeah, come on. If you can make God look bad, if you being bold about his word could make him look bad, that doesn't make sense with what the rest of the Bible says. Hello, are y'all still with me? And so a lot of people say, well, okay, they say, I believe it, but then they say, well, but I don't see it. I don't feel it. I know God said it, but I don't know how that could be possible. And so they don't begin to proclaim it or speak it. Amen. They don't put it out there as faith because of the what ifs. You know what God says about that? You have not because you ask not. And when you ask, that involves speaking something. And then you got to keep speaking it and believing for it and declaring it. The woman that Elijah had come to, and he prophesied she would have a child. And she had a child, and then over the period of time, that promise of God died. Only child, promise of God died. You know what she did? She had reached through the chaos to believe and receive that promise. And that promise now is dead. But you know what she does? In the midst of the chaos, she lays that child in the room made for the prophet. It was Elisha. Laid that child in the room of the prophet and heads to the prophet of God. And everyone would ask her, what are you doing? And she would say, it is well. Was it well? It was dead. Yeah, it wasn't well. It was dead. But she's speaking by faith. Because the promise of God is well. No matter what the circumstance. Come on now. And if you can never get through that chaos, you'll never obtain. If you agree with every negative thing that's said, you will obtain the negative things you agree with. Have you ever known someone, none of us have ever done it, but have you ever known someone that can talk themselves into getting sick? Amen. I know someone in my family, and I'm not calling any names. You would know them, so don't. I'm not talking about my family that you know. I know someone that received sickness from me that had nothing to do with me being physically sick, but had everything to do with some stupid things I had done the night before and was sick that day. But this person, who was a Christian, caught what I had. I'll just have to be a little more blunt so y'all will catch that, I guess. I was sick because of what I had consumed. Hungover. Sick. It's long before I was, it was at least 4 weeks ago. I've been saved by then. I went to the Reinhard Bonnke Crusade and got saved. It's all right. But this family member didn't know, because I wasn't telling that's what it was. And they talked themselves into catching what I had. That's the best example I know how to give you of that right there. You can talk yourself into things. Or you can talk yourself out of things. You can talk yourself into obtaining or rejecting. Amen. Y'all looking down on me now, aren't you? Y'all are a lot holier than I was. I was born in church, but I strayed a little bit. And so the chaos, we've got to deal with the chaos. Okay? So if you can get this in your spirit, it's this in-between part between what was said and what is heard and what is heard and what is said that determines the obtaining or the rejecting. Amen. That's what the script, let me read it to you again and you'll catch what I'm saying. Okay? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? So it has to be something said, but how can they believe on him if they have not heard him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And then how shall they preach unless they are sent? So something is said, something is heard, and something is said. But throughout there, Israel rejected. Just like we do. So that's where we are. So that's that. The chaos leads to your obtaining or rejecting. So it tells us that there is a chaos between. And what that is, and we hit this Sunday, is overanalyzing man's thoughts. Your past, your background, your circumstances, the enemy's word. So, when chaos is your problem, and all these things are causing you to not be able to hear what God said, but it's drowning all that out, what is the most important thing for you to do? And here's what I want you to hear about this. And I don't know if you can see that, but I'll say it. When chaos is reigning and keeping you from obtaining, simplify. Simplify. Break it down. When chaos is the problem, get simplistic. When the past and the man's opinions and education and religion and what's possible and not possible and what you've been taught and what you think and your understanding, when all that's in the way, simplify and ask yourself this: but what does the Word say? What does the Word say? That's simplifying. You simplify by getting back to the Word. What does the Word say? Not what your doctor said. What does the Word say? Not what mom says. What does the Word say? How many of you know mom can be wrong? I know moms don't want to admit that, but yeah. Dads can be wrong. Pastors can be wrong. I'm not, but there are. We've got a former pastor in here that's been wrong a few times. I haven't, but we've got some that have. I can be wrong. Men can be wrong. The greatest can be wrong. God cannot be wrong. Scientists can be wrong. In fact, they call things facts until new facts emerge and they have to change what they said was a fact. Doctors hanging on their wall says they have a certificate that gives them the opportunity to practice medicine. Practice medicine. Amen. Practice? You're talking about practice? Seeing if any of y'all were basketball fans. We're talking about practice. Now they could be wrong. Your friends can be wrong. God is never wrong. So when all this chaos is going on in my life and I'm needing to hear, I've got something here, my best bet is to get here and simplify to the Word. Simplify my life to the Word. What does God say? And then hang on to that, because that is not wrong. Well, I'm trying to make a decision. Okay, I'm trying to make a job decision. I'm trying to make a life decision. And I've got all this chaos, and everybody's got opinions, and I think maybe this, and this seems right, but I just don't know, and I'm asking God, and I can't hear. What do you do then? Is that a real situation? Yeah. Okay, so what do you do? Well, that's the chaos that you're living in. So what do? You got to simplify. You got to get to the Word. So when all this chaos is around, what does the Word tell us? What could we pull from the Word? The Word says, well, do whatever you do with all of your heart for the glory of God. Okay? When you don't know what else to do, what your hands find to do, do it with all of your heart for God's glory. Say, well, that doesn't answer my question, but it's simplifying things. So then God can have a clear path into your life and direct you. And He can open doors that no man can shut, and He can shut doors that no man can open. Amen? If you'll just do, when you don't know what, here's what Scripture says, Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, he talks about the full armor of God. But here's what he says. He says, having done all to stand. Anybody ever felt like, I've done all I know to do? I've asked, I've tried, I've looked, I've prayed, I've begged, I've cried. I've done all that I know to do. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. How can you do that? Because you're standing in simplicity on God's Word that cannot fail you. Now we're going to go. Hold on. I'm not going to leave you. Just keep that in your mind. I'm not leaving you there. I've got more to tell you about this. But that's step number one. Okay? Because there's chaos in between. Do you know in Genesis chapter 1? I hope I can get through this tonight. Do you know in Genesis chapter 1, we encounter a world, a place that we now inhabit, that the Bible says was without form and void. It was chaos. It was just chaos. It really wasn't anything. It was without form and it was void. The Spirit of God would hover among the deep. But here's what happened. God said, turn over. I don't think you I want to show you this. Y'all have all night? We still got a while. Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That sounds great. But the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. It was chaos. I mean, it was created, but it was nothing. It was darkness, and it was void, and it was just this nothing. It was just out there, but God had created something. So God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said it, and it happened. Because God's word is creative and powerful and greater than the chaos. Amen. Matthew 16, Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And the disciples begin listing off people. Well, I've heard you're Isaiah. I've heard others say you're this prophet or that prophet. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're this. And he said, but who do you say that I am? Forget all the chaos. Forget what everybody else is saying. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, all of a sudden, catches a revelation. And he says, well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to him, blessed are you, Simon or Jonah. Because this didn't come from out of you, but from the Father to you. And upon this rock, the rock, he said, your name now will be Peter, Cephas, that little rock. But upon the rock of this confession, who I am, I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. And all of that happened because one man broke through the chaos of what everybody else was saying, heard what God said, and was willing to say it. And was blessed because of it. So here's what you got to do. You got to choose faith over chaos. So when chaos is around, you got to reach up, you got to find a word, and you got to choose faith. I choose faith. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Hebrews chapter 10, or Romans chapter 10 says, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes to us. But we have to reach through the chaos and wrap our hands around it, and then it comes to us. You've got to choose faith. Some of you that are struggling with all sorts of decisions and all sorts of problems, and the chaos is overwhelming you, and it's paralyzing you, and it's frustrating you, you've got to choose faith. Before you see anything, you've got to understand there's a chaos between, so you've got to stand. And you got to keep doing whatever you have your hands to do. Do it with all your heart. Do it for the glory of God. And then you have to choose faith. And as you choose to believe what God said, faith comes. Because now you are hearing the word of God. And the third thing is, then faith in Christ produces something. So after you've got through this and you've simplified and you've grabbed the word and you're standing there and you're choosing faith and you're saying, I don't care what it is around me or what it looks like, I'm believing this word that I've grabbed. I've reached through the chaos. I've brought it down. I'm declaring it. I'm speaking it. I'm believing it. I'm standing on the simplicity of the word. Then faith comes, and faith produces fruit. Faith produces peace. Chaos is the absence of peace. Peace is the absence of chaos. So if you stand, if you understand there's chaos, you get the word, you simplify it, you pull it down, you stand by faith on it, you declare it, you believe it, because God said it and God cannot lie, then the faith that you are standing in produces in your life a peace that has penetrated the chaos and that cannot now be shaken. Jesus would say to them, he's about to go away from them. But he says to them, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me also. He would say to them, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but my peace I give to you. Amen. But you've got to believe. You've got to let not your heart be troubled. You've got to reach through the chaos to what God said. You've got to hear that, believe that, speak that. Let the word back up your stance, take your stand, and then let your faith begin to produce. And faith Russell, go with me to the book of James. James chapter number 1. My wife's favorite book in the Bible. I don't know if it's her favorite book, but she loves the book of James. And the book of James is such a practical word. Look what he says. Chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. Listen. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind and will not receive anything. But he who has faith is like calm waters. What's that called? Peace. Faith will produce peace, but guess what the better news is? Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. When we have peace, we have Jesus. Isaiah 9. Speaking of the Messiah, verse number 6, you'll come Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Let the peace of God rule in your life. Oh, come on. Are you with me? Your faith will begin to produce something. So the word, it's when the chaos is around, simplify, hear the word. When you hear the word, believe the word. Pull it down through the chaos, and then pull it down and speak it and stand on it. When you have the word and you'll stand on the word, faith comes. And when faith comes, it'll produce peace through your chaos. Chaos will have to relinquish, and peace will become your strength. And God will give you peace that will pass all understanding. And guess what peace will lead to? I'm gonna close here. What time we got? We got it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 1. Therefore, since a promise, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of his rest. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. Oh, come on, I'm showing you something better than you're letting on. Maybe you're contemplating it real deeply right now. But I've just showed you in Scripture what I've been spending all this time telling you. Since a promise remains of entering his rest, let's worry. Let's be fearful that some aren't making it. For the gospel was preached to us just like them, but it didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith when they heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest, since therefore it remains that some must enter. And those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. He designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been said, today if you will hear the voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did his. When you enter your rest, you cease from the works and you just obtain. Produces peace, and peace leads to rest. Because Jesus is our peace, and he is our rest. He finished our work. And all we have to do is believe. Our job is to cut through the chaos. Everything else has been done. I wish I was better at telling you this than I am. Because I want so badly for you to catch this. All the word is done. God spoke it. It is finished. Faith comes. It's finished. Faith will produce peace. When you're tried and you stand with God, you'll receive peace. You'll receive what you're asking for. The water's calm. You'll receive peace. Peace is finished. And when we have the peace of God, the Prince of Peace in our life, when we are living in peace, rest comes, and rest is where we obtain. And that's done. The only thing undone that determines whether we obtain or we reject is what we do with the chaos. The only thing. Do y'all believe what I'm telling you? It's the only thing. It's the only thing that stands in the way. Your interpretation on what God has said is the only thing that stands between you and obtaining all the promises of God. You listening to what others have said. You doubting because of circumstances. You not believing because others haven't exemplified it well for you. You not receiving because hypocrites showed you something wrong. You not receiving because some doctor said it wasn't possible. You not receiving because at the end of the month there were too many bills and not enough money. And so you allowed the chaos to interpret what God said. Woo, I know I'm not preaching, but I feel a little bit of preaching that. But if we can deal with the chaos, everything else is done. Hanging on the cross. Jesus is going to cry out and say, it's finished. Hanging on one side of him and the other side of him are two thieves. They are rightfully there before they broke the laws of the land. And that, the chaos is all around. How could Jesus be the Messiah? And I see him hanging on the cross. How could he be the one God said he would be? And I see him bleeding, beaten, defeated. I see him with, they've mocked him and put a crown of thorns on his head. They put a sign over him mocking him as the King of the Jews. They're jeering him from the crowd. How could this be a Messiah? It couldn't. And from one side of Jesus, a thief cries out in the midst of the chaos. And he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Amen? And the other one is jeering him and mocking him. And he says, this man's innocent. What are you saying? We are here because we deserve it. He's innocent. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus turns to him, and in the midst of the chaos, he's about to give up his life. This other man's about to die. They are hurting. They're in pain. They are bleeding. They are suffering. They can barely breathe. And Jesus turns to him and says, this day, you'll be with me in paradise. And then he says, it's finished. And because a man could reach through the chaos and hear what God was saying, and hear it and believe it and speak it, all the chaos subsided and peace came into his life and rest came to a thief on the cross. And when he breathed his last on this earth, he obtained his eternal salvation. If he could do it, why can't we? What is your thing that is so much worse than his? If you can just believe. That's why he says, all things are possible. Stand to your feet with me. I hope we were able to go a little farther tonight so you could see this. Because this is where it is. All this is done. There is a rest. There is. And peace is the way that gives us that rest. And peace is promised. And peace comes when faith has produced, so we got to believe. And faith comes from the Word, so we got to simplify. The only thing left is how to get through the chaos. Hearing what God said. And in the meantime, stand. Whatever your hands are finding to do, do it with all your heart, with all your life, in faith, bringing glory to God. Find peace and rest, and you will obtain the promises of God. Bow your heads with me.